Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
The U.S. House Rules Committee will take up impeachment this morning. The committee is to lay out procedures for tomorrow's debate on the House floor of two articles of impeachment against President Trump. Democratic leaders are aiming for a final vote on those articles sometime later tomorrow. The president accused by Democrats of abusing power and obstructing Congress. Tornadoes strike parts of Louisiana, Mississippi, and Alabama late yesterday and last night. In Town Creek, Alabama, the police chief says,
"We have two fatalities confirmed.
Two confirmed fatalities.
And at least four or five injuries."
In western Louisiana, officials say one person is confirmed dead from a tornado that the National Weather Service says cut a 65-mile-long path through that part of the state. This is USA Radio News.
Hello, this is Wayne Allen Root, relentless conservative warrior, middle-class warrior, and always Trump warrior. I have a message for my fellow patriots across America. President Trump is making America great again. He's the only president of my lifetime who is keeping his promises, and his biggest promise is to build that wall. President Trump can only do it with our help. If Congress won't fund Trump's wall, we will. President Trump is one man against the world, and what globalists and socialists around the world want is clear, open borders. It's time to take a stand. We either build a wall, or it's the end of the greatest nation in world history ever blessed by God. That's why I founded the Root for the Wall PAC. 63 million Trump voters together will raise the money President Trump needs for the wall. Anyone who donates $100 or more will get a beautiful commemorative wall brick. Display it proudly. Call 844-ROOT-WALL. That's toll-free, 844-ROOT-WALL. Or go to rootwall.com. We will build this wall together. Call 844-ROOT-WALL or go to rootwall.com. Root for the Wall PAC. Paid for and responsible for the content of this message. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee. Rootwall.com.
New Jersey lawmakers now sending their governor a bill to allow illegal immigrants to get driver's licenses. And the Democratic Governor Phil Murphy has said he supports the plan, which would set up a two-tiered license system. Proponents of the measure approved yesterday say it will help improve safety on New Jersey's roads. More than a dozen other states have similar programs. New York's was implemented just a few days ago. A Democratic debate scheduled for Loyola Marymount University in Los Angeles for Thursday had been threatened because of presidential hopefuls not wanting to cross a picket line. But there's late word that LMU and a labor union representing cafeteria workers have reached a tentative deal. Saints QB Drew Brees is in the record books for most touchdown passes in a career.
Touchdown pass by 4-0 in the 504.
That is heard on ESPN. This is USA Radio News.
Friends and family, I've told you about the great sleep I get with my MyPillow every night. Well, right now you can get a great deal and extra safety because if you go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener special, get their buy one, get one free offer on the MyPillow premium pillow. Your 60-day money-back guarantee goes all the way through March 1st, 2020. That's now through December 25th. When you go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener special and use my promo code USA.
Thousands of officers, friends, family, and community members are attending a funeral today for a New Jersey police detective who was murdered last week. The funeral mass for Jersey City Detective Joseph Seals, scheduled for late morning. Seals was shot and killed last Tuesday by two suspects who then killed three more people in an apparent hate attack at a kosher market. They were then killed by police. Congress is expected to raise the age limit on buying tobacco products to 21 in a year-end spending deal, and that would include e-cigarettes and vaping products. Raising the age limit enjoys bipartisan support in the House and the Senate. It could be included in broader legislation aimed at reducing the costs of emergency medical bills. And the new Star Wars, The Rise of Skywalker, that hits theaters this weekend, had its star-studded Hollywood world premiere last evening. Disney shut down the entire block around the Dolby Theater where Harrison Ford, Adam Driver, Mark Hamill, Daisy Ridley, and others gathered to celebrate the final chapter in the Skywalker saga that started a long time ago in 1977. The blue carpet was rolled out with a setup designed to resemble a spaceship hangar. Director J.J. Abrams says he was glad to release the movie at a time when it's so rare to find something that brings people together. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Attention, this is a public notice from the Social Security Disability Helpline. If you're one of the millions of Americans who are disabled and unable to work, you may be eligible for disability benefits from Social Security. Receiving benefits is your right. If you suffer from physical or mental disability, whether you're applying for the first time or you've already been denied, we can help. We'll evaluate your situation and deal with Social Security on your behalf. Best of all, there's no fee until you receive your benefits. Remember, we only get paid if you win your case. There are many reasons and conditions that may make you eligible for disability benefits. Many of them you may not be aware of. So if you're disabled and unable to work, call now to get started with your free, no-obligation consultation.
800-368-0123. 800-368-0123. That's 800-368-0123.
America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Hey, we do it because, not because it's easy, because it's hard, right? I mean, getting this country back on track, it took us a long time. It's kind of like you wake up one day and you go, whoa, where did that 30 pounds come from? Well, a day at a time, it was there, and we're not going to lose it in one day. You know, that experience has taught us well. Same thing with getting this country back on track. It is a process. Many of us believe that we're heading in the right direction. We are very optimistic as we are all rejoicing in this third week of Advent, ladies and gentlemen, approaching Christmas at Mach 5 speeds, and thank God that cooler heads are prevailing around the shopping malls from coast to coast. Thank you very much for, you know, sharing the love and peace this holiday season. Ash Kazarian is going to be joining us, Director of Civil Liberties at Tech Freedom, and be talking about dismantling Section 230. Now, many would say that in dismantling Section 230, it's going to shatter free speech and innovation. And you say, wait, what's Section 230? Well, that's why Ash is here, so he can break it down for us. Ash, good to have you with us. How are you?
Thank you so much for having me. I'm great.
Well, Ash, as I was mentioning, Silicon Valley has been taking a closer look at Section 230 rules. I mean, they've been on the Hill this last year repeatedly, and this has been a concern when we're talking about, influence on our elections, whether it's existential, with the Russians, Ukrainians, whoever it is that you want to come up with. But I still maintain there's a lot of domestic tomfoolery going on in the process. And but, you know, we are a nation that believes in the First Amendment right of free speech. And so, when you start looking at curtailing free speech, a lot of people get uncomfortable, and understandably, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Honestly, my story has been I was born and I grew up and I went to college in Russia, and I saw free speech, but like little pieces that we had be taken away. And the first place they went after was the internet, because that's where all the opposition and radical to the Russian, government thought was. And that's why I became a First Amendment lawyer in the first place, and I'm trying to stop anything from happening to free speech here in America.
Exactly.
And so Section 230, which you mentioned, it's this law that was passed in 1996, and it's 26 words that created the internet as we know it. Mm-hmm. What it basically does, it says that companies are not liable for third-party content, that any website is not liable for third-party content if they were not part of making that content. So basically, I'm sure, Bill, you have a website, right?
Yes,
personal website. If you have a comment section, it just means that you're not responsible for whoever goes to your comment section and says whatever awful thing they want to say. Or maybe, there have been cases of academic websites being used to sell drugs in the comment section. You know, all those like wonky academics whose websites no one ever checks, including the academics themselves. So basically, they're not responsible for that. And this little law is one of the main reasons America is a leader in technology and innovation around the world. And all the dominant platforms are American, and they promote American ideals, and they have the American values in them. Not all, you know, not always, but that's why, like, you know, U.S. won this race over EU, for example. Because in 1996, we passed this, and around mid-90s, EU was actually passing heavy regulations regulating internet that barely existed.
So, as it's being reviewed, you know, by the legislators, I mean, they're looking at it in the context, as you know, in terms of any kind of influence they could have in elections or otherwise. But, you know, at some point, you've got to be able to let adults be adults, do you not?
I agree. I think one of the main ideas.
I mean, maybe that's maybe that makes me a libertarian. I guess I don't know, but
I think the government that operates from a place that an adult is stupid and can't make their own decisions and judgments is a very state that's headed into a totalitarian regime. If you ask me, and with the elections and disinformation, what they call it, it's very obviously tricky question. And if you look at the data and, you know, amount of information or misinformation that's being spread, I think there's a little exaggeration to how much it actually affects American elections. And on top of that, I think it's very dangerous for governments to start regulating what private companies do to, you know, moderate that kind of information. So basically, our government, and I've heard this from multiple lawmakers, wants to come in and say, okay, so that article saying that President Trump did that is fake news, and that article is not. That's government intervening not only in journalistic, you know, endeavors, but also in speech. And no matter if you're a Democrat or a Republican or a Libertarian or whoever you are, the Green Party, you don't want that, because when the next administration comes, and sooner or later, colors change both in Congress and in the White House. And let's say we have President Elizabeth Warren. You don't, like, if you're a Republican, you don't want now the Warren administration to be saying what's true and what's not. And vice versa, you don't want the Trump administration saying what's true and what's not. And that's why the government has to stay out of private companies regulating, you know, moderating the content on their websites. It's as simple as that.
And I think it's been increasingly dangerous with, you know, the way Twitter will, you know, block out accounts, Facebook, and this. It is an overreach, all in the name of, you know, trying to adjudicate these things. But Ash, as you know, it becomes subjective. And now you start getting down a slippery road, because once you start becoming subjective, then it becomes a power grab for who's going to be the king of the mountain and be in charge of that subjectivity, right?
I understand when that concern, and I fully support it. However, there are two things to keep in mind. Number one is Facebook and Twitter of the world are not constant. Even though I'm a millennial, most of my adult life, you know, has been spent on those platforms, it doesn't mean they're here to stay. We have a free market that is truly regulating all of these things before we even know it is. The younger generation, none of them use Facebook or Twitter. They're all on TikTok, which is a whole separate story because it's a Chinese company. But, you know, the market is already in play. So we shouldn't treat them as constants and as monopolies in any way. And the second thing is, unfortunately, if we demand neutrality, and senators like Ted Cruz and Josh Hawley, who are both lawyers, by the way, and Harvard and Yale law graduates, they have been floating these proposals of demanding neutrality from platforms. And you know what that is, too? Government regulation.
Exactly.
And you know who vetoed it? Ronald Reagan. There was a fairness doctrine asking broadcasters to be neutral. And Ronald Reagan was the one who vetoed that law after it passed the Democratic Congress. And it's fascinating to me that the conservatives are forgetting about that. And I'm sure you as a broadcaster have heard about the fairness doctrine.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you bring up excellent. You bring up an excellent point. Ash, this is why you got to come back, because we need to continue this conversation. So, you know, we really appreciate it. In fact, I think we have another segment here, don't we? I think we do. All right. So stay tuned. We've got more from Ash Kazarian after this. Stay with us.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
The Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, the Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer have to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at shopsupertea.com or call 818-984-6100. That's shopsupertea.com, 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month, you could fight against heart disease naturally. At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
This is sponsored by Wells Fargo. Did you know that millions of Americans struggle to put food on their tables for themselves and their family? In fact, 1 in 7 Americans turn to the Feeding America network of food banks for help. It could be a friend, coworker, or neighbor. Food insecurity does not discriminate. To show support, Wells Fargo launched its 2019 Holiday Food Bank program, working side by side with the nation's largest domestic hunger relief organization, Feeding America. Lauren Biedron is the Vice President of Corporate Partnerships at Feeding America.
We encourage everyone to join us in providing holiday meals for more families. You can drop off non-perishable food at your local Wells Fargo bank, volunteer at your local food bank or pantry, or donate money to Feeding America through Wells Fargo ATMs, online at wellsfargo.com/foodbank, or by texting MEALS to 91990.
Message and data rates may apply. For more information on how you can help, visit wellsfargo.com/foodbank.
Now that the Fed has cut interest rates by 0.25%, chances are you're paying too much for your mortgage or those high-interest credit cards. Well, my friends at Network Capital Funding can show you an immediate and smart way to save big money on those monthly bills. In fact, their clients have been saving an average of $528 a month and improving their FICO scores. Imagine what you could do with an extra $6,300 a year. So what are you waiting for? Call Network Capital Funding now, 800-700-8068. We're a direct lender, so there's no middle men and no wasted time. The process is uniquely fast, simple, and secure. These are the best rates we've seen in 10 years. So now is the time to save. Call the experts at Network Capital Funding, 800-700-8068. That's 800-700-8068. Not licensed in all states. NMLS ID number 11712. Visit NMLSConsumerAccess.org. Licensed by the California Department of Business Oversight under the Finance Lender Law number 603-D78. An equal housing lender subject to credit approval.
Values, faith, service, they still exist here. Bill Martinez, live.
Fresh and independent, just the way you like to hear from us. Okay, a little bit ornery, so says my mother. I love her dearly. 19 minutes after the top of the hour. Good to have you with us. Ash Kazarian continues with us. She's the Director of Civil Liberties at Tech Freedom. You know, Ash, I have maintained, and we've been pushing quite repeatedly this past year, with anything that has to do with the government, including our voting, we need to ask the question, I think a critical question, and that is, are we going to be more or less free as a result of that law or that person that we elect to office?
You know, I am so grateful that you guys are doing that, because I'm fortunately in a chorus of different voices, those reasonable voices asking questions before jumping to solutions to problems that we don't even fully understand are very loud. Mm-hmm. And often people are scared of technology and this innovation. And I understand it's partially because of, you know, science fiction, actually, mm-hmm. and all the Terminator movies and right. whatnot. And for decades now, it has been established in our collective mind that technology is creepy and technology is bad and it can do so many bad things. But I think often when people blame technology, they don't actually hate the technology. They hate what other people do with the technology.
Mm-hmm. Right. Exactly. No, that's an excellent point. But, you know, we are our own gatekeepers for what we associate with, what we apprehend, and technology and what, I mean, you know, Ash, I look back over the last couple of decades, you know, the last 20 years, and I see the innovation that has just, you know, expanded so exponentially. It's amazing what we're doing right now, and it just makes me all that more excited about what it's going to be like 20 years from now. But we need to be careful where, you know, people want to think that they can fix things. I'm a firm believer in the free market. The free market has a way. I mean, you know, we have government, we have rules and laws to kind of set the bumpers and the guidelines so that nobody, you know, we're not doing harm here and people aren't getting injured and, you know, technology isn't used in a maleficent, you know, sort of way. That it is, you know, beneficial for all, you know, all humankind. That's, I believe, our ideal and hope. Are there people out there? Are there evil people out there that will use technology? You better believe it in a heartbeat. But we just need to, you know, go into this with our eyes wide open, like we've done with all other innovation that we've experienced in the history of this great country, right?
Yes, and Bill, you kind of hit the nail right on the head, because harm is the key word. Real harm that happened absolutely should be looked at, and government should go after people who harmed other people using mm-hmm. technology. However, often the ideas we hear here in Washington, D.C. are about regulating hypothetical harm, any possible harm that might ever happen. And, you know, if that was the case and that was the way America operated in the last, you know, few centuries, we wouldn't be where we are. Back in the day, when the cars started, you know, showing up on the streets, people would scream at them and say, get a horse.
Yes,
and
right.
that's not the attitude that we have to have. Like, it's not the attitude that we should have. Mm-hmm. Or, for example, elevators were very scary for people. You know, you step into a box that takes you somewhere that's hanging up. You know, above just nothing. Mm-hmm. And so people who were making elevators, they actually implemented a female voice that was saying going up and going down. And that has helped tremendously in accepting that technology. So instead of banning the technology, we should, as a society, keep talking about it and keep, mm-hmm. you know, ourselves in check. What right. does scare us? What doesn't scare us? Are we scared of artificial intelligence because we think it's going to take over the world and the robots are going to kill all of us? Is that truly what we've come to?
Right.
Or is it artificial intelligence that's going to help us cure cancer?
Mm-hmm. Well, and you bring up some excellent points here, Ash, and that is that, you've got the political mindset that enters into this, that, you know, out of fear, you know, creating fear, and, you know, somehow if you're the one, if you're the fear monger, then you become the leader and you can acquire votes and manipulate people and that sort of thing. But this is where, you know, critical thinking needs to be exercised. I think we've shelved that concept of critical thinking in our country, what's been happening in our educational institutions, sadly, and these kids are getting behind, in terms of development and maturation and their contribution to the coming generations, because they're not taught any longer to think critically. And this is important, especially in the forecast of all this technology coming. You know, as you're talking, I'm thinking, wow, if we're mindless with all this technology coming in, sure, I think that AI could take over and we could all be duped into being run by machines instead of machines being useful tools to the advancement of humanity.
Another thing to consider is that we're not, you know, the American society is not the only ones in this race.
Yes.
There's the Chinese, who have a very, very restrictive regime, which also means their economy is controlled and sometimes more efficient because of it. The Chinese miracle of their economy, unfortunately, is very powerful. So, and I believe in free market, and I think free market should always win. But mm-hmm. if we overregulate innovation, we'll be the ones who lose this race. And then God knows what happens, because the Chinese influence across the globe is spreading.
Yes. But also look at the Chinese relevant to the point of innovation. Innovation is hard-pressed to be developed in darkness and oppression. And they can be good in certain areas, but when it comes to a free market, I mean, America has proved this time and time again because of our, you know, free markets, because of the freedom that we do enjoy, you know, and the satisfaction that people have. Ash, I think one of the, you know, worst things you can do to a human is put them on a production line, and they're designed to be a CEO of a company, and you keep them on that production line for the rest of their lives, putting slot A and slot B. I mean, that's dehumanizing. That's crippling. If you get my drift in terms of, you know, forcing and becoming so totalitarian in your perspective that you deprive, humanity of its free expression and growth.
I absolutely agree. And, you know, I kind of grew up seeing a country not just broken, but hungry and missing so many parts because of communism. Mm-hmm. And the thing that I'm very scared of, in the last couple of years, especially here in Washington, D.C., there's this phenomenon called the backlash. Mm. A lot of policymakers are mad and very much going after technology. And for some of the reasons that you mentioned, it's a very electable issue apparently right now, criticizing the tech companies and saying, I'm going to go after them. A lot of state AGs actually now bring up lawsuits against Google and Facebook and all these big companies, and for the reasons of just running for a higher office.
Exactly.
And I don't personally that much, you know, want to protect these companies in that sense. What I want to protect is the next Google and the next Facebook. They're going to come around, but we have to let them do that. And so I'm very worried that all the government agencies and Congress are going to stop the innovation from happening. So that's why you and I, people like you and I, should use our voices and engage others in this debate and explain to them that innovation is not scary and progress is not scary
right.
if we as a society decide to embrace it.
Well, we're going to need smarter legislators and smarter people, you know, serving our government, that people understand again what it's all about. What is the main focus? Are we more or less free as a result of the choices and the thinking that they're implementing and putting into the body politic? I got to imagine you have an interesting perspective on what you're seeing in Iran and Hong Kong right now as the young people are leading the way and fighting for liberty in those two countries.
Absolutely. And, you know, one of the main things that they have used in their fight is technology.
Exactly.
They use technology to stay safe. They use technology to exchange ideas. And not just Iran and Hong Kong. For example, Armenia, and I'm ethnically Armenian.
Yes, exactly.
Year,
yeah, without a doubt. Ash, we're out of time, but I'm looking forward to having you back. We're gonna keep talking. In 2020, you and I are going to be talking more often, okay?
Thank you so much for having me.
Ash Kazarian, Director of Civil Liberties at Tech Freedom on Bill Martinez Live.
Do you know what the second most common cancer in the U.S. is? You may be surprised to hear. It's a type of skin cancer called cutaneous squamous cell carcinoma, or CSCC, and it affects about 700,000 Americans every year. CSCC is typically treatable when caught early, but like other cancers, it can become serious and even life-threatening if it progresses to a locally advanced stage or spreads in your body. Most people know that sun exposure increases your risk for skin cancers like CSCC, but that's not the only risk. If you're over 65, male, or living in the southern part of the U.S., you're at an increased risk too. It's important to know potential signs of CSCC, like scaly or red patches, or raised lumps. If you have had CSCC, check for any changes or new spots that won't go away, as these may be signs that you're at higher risk for the cancer to get worse. If you have questions or think your CSCC is becoming advanced, talk to your doctor. You can learn more at aboutadvancedcscc.com. This is sponsored by Regeneron and Sanofi.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
The U.S. House Rules Committee will take up impeachment this morning. The committee's to lay out procedures for tomorrow's debate on the House floor of two articles of impeachment against President Trump. Democratic leaders are aiming for a final vote on those articles sometime later tomorrow. The president accused by Democrats of abusing power and obstructing Congress. Tornadoes strike parts of Louisiana, Mississippi, and Alabama late yesterday and last night. In Town Creek, Alabama, the police chief says,
we have two fatalities confirmed.
Two confirmed fatalities.
And at least four or five injured.
In western Louisiana, officials say one person is confirmed dead from a tornado that the National Weather Service says cut a 65-mile-long path through that part of the state. This is USA Radio News.
Dish TV is better than cable TV. Why? Because you can save 45% on packages compared to your high-priced cable bill. Wow. Take those giant scissors out and cut the cable and save with Dish TV. Plus, you get a free DVR upgrade to record your favorite shows and free installation. And with Dish Anywhere, you can watch TV for free on your mobile device. Act fast. You can save hundreds of dollars. Does your cable company do that for you? I don't think so. Get all the best TV programming at your fingertips at a fraction of the price of cable TV. So say adios, arrivederci, goodbye to the high cable bill, and save up to 45% on Dish TV packages today. These are limited time offers and can change at any time. Call fast. 800-610-5739. 800-610-5739. 800-610-5739. That's 800-610-5739.
You didn't think they'd get away with it, did you?
Oh, you need that worried. I trust your taste implicitly. Thank you.
Bill Martinez, live.
We're back with the America. Bill Martinez here. For more information on the show, you can go to BillMartinezLive.com. Great to have you along with us, sharing a part of your day. And we're going to be talking about the Judicial Hellholes Report, showing a need for balance in civil justice system. The 2019-20 Judicial Hellholes Report shines a light on the year's abuses in the civil justice system and in state legislative bodies, whether by welcoming litigation tourism or adopting novel theories of liability. Judges and legislators swung open the door to lawyers looking for more reasons to sue for more money. Now these judicial hellholes have civil justice climates that starkly contrast the rest of the nation, where the rule of law is upheld in a fair and balanced manner. Emerging concerns this year include an attack on arbitration, data privacy lawsuits, and an alarming increase in local governments filing local lawsuits to address national concerns. A recent study by the American Tort Reform Association highlights both the overall cost and inefficiencies of the tort system. And here to talk about it is Tiger Joyce, the president of the American Tort Reform Association. Tiger, welcome to the show. Good to have you with us.
Thank you very much, Bill. Thanks for having me on.
Boy, I'll tell you, this has been a topic that, in fact, last night I was just talking with some people about the judicial system, and so this conversation is very appropriate right now. So help our audience understand, what is a judicial hellhole, and how do you end up on the list?
Well, first off, thank you again, Bill. First off, it's a list you don't want to be on. Let's just start with that. Judicial hellholes are the places that we believe equal access to justice under law, which is written on the front of the Supreme Court of the United States, we believe simply isn't available to defendants in civil litigation. These are the places that the personal injury lawyers choose to bring cases. This is where they want to go because they believe that the system works in their favor and is not balanced.
Mm-hmm. Well, just like I guess anything these days, we hear about attorneys that that judge shop, you know, or court shop, you know, because they know they can get favorable judgments. And this is basically what's going on. I mean, the top 10 judicial hellholes in alphabetical order that you laid out for us: California, Georgia, Cook, Madison, and St. Clair counties of Illinois, Louisiana, New Jersey legislature, New York City, Oklahoma, Philadelphia, St. Louis, the Twin Cities of Minnesota. Wow. You don't want to be on that list, but man, if you're in that area to where you can be adjudicated, boy, that might be, you know, get me out of Dodge here, I think.
Well, I think that's exactly right. Here's an illustration, Bill, that I would highlight for your listeners. We put the Philadelphia at the top of the list. And there was one of the issues that really brought it to our attention in a very powerful way was an $8 billion award against a pharmaceutical company over, and it was an issue involving, we believe, well-known side effect of a medication. A medication's been on the market for quite some time. But what was really troubling, even beyond this enormous verdict, for an individual who wasn't even from Philadelphia, it was from Maryland, there were reports, it's alleged, that the judge afterwards was taking pictures with members of the jury and pictures taken by the lawyer bringing the actual case. Now, if you're finding yourself in that court as a defendant, how confident are you going to be about getting a fair shake in that court?
Wow. I mean, and no censure? I mean, that's all acceptable? I mean, that to me, just reeks of all kinds of issues. I mean, they just got to pass on that?
Well, again, I want to emphasize that this is just, we're hearing about this. It's alleged. I can't represent that definitively happened. But, you know, on that issue, you know, a case that we highlighted a number of years ago in our Hell Holes report involved a law firm that sued a railroad over asbestos claims. It turned out it was complete fraud, and not only did the case unravel as a plaintiff's case, but the defendant, CSX Railroad, actually brought a successful civil RICO case against the law firm. And to your point, as best we can tell, we haven't checked recently. This mm-hmm. happened a number of years ago. There was just not even any discipline of the lawyers.
Right.
The legal profession is self-governing, and it escapes the sort of accountability in situations like this that, you know, that virtually any other business or entity would be subject to.
Well, why would we be surprised? I mean, look what's happening even in our own government. I mean, we have a Supreme Court justice, you know, to be confirmed, and this guy's put through the gauntlet. And, you know, it was all harm, no foul, and what they did to him, and no repercussions. And even the attorney afterwards admitted, I mean, we got her caught on video, and she admitted that this was purposeful. But, you know, if our court systems are going to be open to these type of antics, and the attorneys are to get away with it, it's the old business axiom: people do that which they get rewarded for. And whether it's the attorney that was representing Dr. Blasey Ford, or these other attorneys that you referenced, if there's no repercussion, no harm, no foul, we can expect more of it.
Well, we would focus probably more on the CSX case and that discipline. But you make a broader point, which I think is very important, which is the people that serve on the bench is very important. And there is no easy way, no right or wrong way, to choose the process for serving on the judiciary. And they serve an important function in our society. But we need people who are going to, whether it's at the Supreme Court of the United States or at a trial court level in a judicial hellhole jurisdiction, we need people who are, as I think it was Chief Justice Roberts said, call balls and strikes.
Exactly.
And take a balanced approach and don't try to achieve particular outcomes with their decision making, but simply administer the law and recognize that other public officials, have responsibility to make broader policy. And the role of the judge is to resolve disputes, It's not to solve society's problems.
Exactly, but it starts with the rule of law. If we are not respecting the rule of law, then, you know, we enter into the world of chaos, and some would argue that we're in the midst of it right now. What we're touching on here, you know, it concerns me because I see a trajectory that could be showing us some emerging trends, and you would know, Tiger, what are you seeing here?
Well, we are seeing some important trends. And, you know, the plaintiff's bar is very entrepreneurial. It's always looking for new opportunities. One example that we highlight is with digital privacy. You know, that's an important part of our everyday lives, the role of digital activity and different entities. And it's important that that be addressed. But in too many places, Illinois is one, California is another, and we fear New York as well. There are opportunities to create more litigation opportunities for the plaintiff's bar in areas like that. We're seeing more and more localities bringing lawsuits on matters like climate change or with respect to e-cigarettes and vaping. These are health and policy issues that should be dealt with by public officials who are charged with protecting the public and serving that broader public interest. And then it's well known that with the opioids, we've got hundreds of localities suing these pharmaceutical companies, and it's making the resolution of a public policy issue, forget about the litigation, just that much more difficult to achieve.
Without a doubt. Well, the question is our justice being jilted? And some would argue absolutely. Judicial Hellholes report is showing a need for balance in civil justice system. Tiger Joyce, the president of the American Tort Reform Association, is with us. Tiger, again, the big question is, you know, what can we do about this?
Well, first off, I think you start with recognizing that it's a problem. I think too many people think about these issues and think, well, this is for someone else to deal with. This is for judges. It's for lawyers. It's for others. The reality is it affects all of us. It affects our you know, basic economic activities. The abuses impact the opportunities for job creation and ultimately, you know, the income that average citizens are able to achieve in these jurisdictions. So recognize that it's something that does affect everybody, and then hold your public officials accountable. Demand that they bring about change.
Well, without a doubt, once again, it's a call for personal activism, you know, civil activism. This is a government up for by we the people, so you need to get involved. Where can they go for more information?
You can go to judicialhellholes.org. And about the litigation reform generally, come to visit us at our website, atra.org.
Tiger Joyce right here on Bill Martinez Live. Thank you, Tiger. Appreciate it. You know, most people don't know they're missing the most important nutritional components in their diet. You know, if we really want to feel good and not miss work and get the most of each day, then we need the immune and growth factors in bovine colostrum. As a newborn, colostrum passes on immunity from our mother's lineage. It helps our body recognize when we're under attack and fights all those nasty microbes we're exposed to from birth. But the most important job colostrum does for newborns is to seal our GI tract. Unfortunately, it doesn't stay sealed. Leaky gut affects 8 out of 10 people, passing undigested foods, germs, and toxins into our bloodstream. It happened to me and caused unbelievable trauma to my immune system and gut. Fortunately, Sovereign Laboratories Colostrum LD can help. Taken daily as part of a healthy lifestyle, Colostrum LD can help you feel good every day. I feel great on this product. To learn more, go to PreventLeakyGut.com. That's PreventLeakyGut.com.
You want a hemp extract you can trust. One that is cultivated, harvested, produced, and packaged with quality in mind. One that undergoes extensive laboratory testing. Introducing Quantum Nutrition Labs Quantum Hemp Extract. Support mood, stress management, sleep, neuromodulation, a healthy inflammatory response, and the alleviation of minor aches and pains. Knowing you have the best quality hemp available, call 888-588-7578. That's 888-588-7578. Or visit us online at qnlabs.com. That's QNLABS.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Bob Marshall, PhD, host of Healthline. Tune in and hear the latest breakthrough information for you and your family. Our product line, Quantum Nutrition Labs, delivers what others only promise, nutrition that really works.
me ask you something. What are you doing when you put money in a 401k or IRA, or store jumper cables in your vehicle, or purchase health insurance? You're preparing. You're preparing to ensure you have enough money for retirement. You're preparing for when your car battery dies, or to have assistance paying a major unexpected medical bill. That all makes sense. The same goes for building a food storage plan. You're preparing for when emergencies or disasters strike and shelves go empty at your grocery store. The best way to prepare is with My Patriot Supply. They've helped a million hardworking Americans become more self-sufficient. My Patriot Supply sells hundreds of items, including dozens of emergency food kits, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It could be an earthquake, a cyber attack freezing our banking system, or a disaster that shuts down our power grid for weeks. For all these emergencies and more, get your supplies and prepare today at MyPatriotSupply.com. No more rushing to find empty store shelves because you're too late. Do it now so you're ready. MyPatriotSupply.com.
With more people listening to radio than visit Google, Facebook, or YouTube, from the very young to the very old, everyone listens to radio. Pillow companies, alarm, identity theft, nutrition, insurance, banking, automotive, the list goes on and on. Billion-dollar businesses, why? The answer is radio, the media everyone tunes into. Find out how effective and affordable radio can be for your business. Contact 877-996-4327 or advertise at gcnlive.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
We're back with the America. 14 minutes before the top of the hour. Fresh and independent we are, as we are 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. The senior editor at stream.org, Rachel Alexander, joins us now. Rachel, Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
Oh, Merry Christmas to you, too.
Hey, we got so much to talk about here. Speaking, Merry Christmas. Happy impeachment to you. Only in America.
Very happy, though.
Yeah. Oh, Lord have mercy. Talk about the Grinch of all Grinches here, brought to you by Nancy Pelosi, Jerry Nadler, and Adam Schiff.
Oh, my gosh. What a show. I mean, this is just, it's just a joke, because he's not going to be removed from office. You know, if the House impeaches him, the Senate's not going to remove him. So why are they even going through the motion? You know, exactly. I think they're just trying to tarnish Trump and make him look bad.
Yeah,
in the hopes that will help, you know, defeat him for re-election.
But at what cost, though? What they're putting on the line here? I mean, if the Brexit election is any indication, Rachel, if it's a portend of what could happen and what some have been saying about 2020, the Democrats are doomed here. I mean, they're going off the abyss, and in such a way that they're going to crash and burn so hard that I think it's going to take them years to recover.
Yeah, and you can tell because of all the Democrats who are defecting, and,
yes,
and that one Democrat we just heard who switched parties because he's so disgusted with the impeachment. It's already backfired. One of my articles I wrote recently was how this is backfiring on them, and how the polls are showing that support for the impeachment is dropping after the impeachment hearing started.
Exactly. And, you know, this is what they're going to have to deal with is, you know, the ill effects of all this. Nancy Pelosi was trying to do everything she could to hold on to the gavel. It's just gone nuclear to her own demise. And dare I say, I mean, unless I'm missing something here, I think this is just going to devastate the Democratic Party, as evidence right now, because they don't have, you know, everybody in lockstep behind us. They've got enough to pass it, probably. Nancy Pelosi has been known to be a good number counter. She's not going to take it to this point, but still, she knows that if it goes to the Senate, it's a fait accompli. And on top of that, I think she's banking and hoping that the Republicans, in their own typical manner, are very calm and reasonable about this, and they do not return fire in the same manner to which the House had fired upon the House Republicans. Because if all hell breaks loose and Mitch McConnell is forced to really open this body of corruption up, I mean, this is going to be a mess, Rachel.
Yeah, well, I think it's really telling the fact that Nancy Pelosi just seems so hesitant. You know, sometimes she doesn't want to go through with the impeachment, other times she did. I mean, she was back and forth. She's like a nervous Nelly because she knows it can probably backfire on them.
Exactly. Well, meanwhile, you had Adam Schiff this weekend on TV, and it was embarrassing. I mean, here's a guy who's claimed he had all the goods, had all the information, and he says, "Well, we just didn't know. We didn't know then what we know now." Wait a minute, we're not talking 10 years ago. We're just talking a couple of years ago, and this came from you, who said you had all the goods, and that it was just a matter of time before the president was doing a perp walk.
Okay, and you're talking about the information that they provided to get the FISA warrant?
Yeah, well, I'm talking about the FISA warrant. I'm talking about the Russian collusion, all this stuff that Adam Schiff has been promoting all this time. And, of course, James Comey, he's another one who now, after the Horowitz report, says, well, he was right, I was wrong. So, get over it, let's move on. Wait a minute. You were the FBI director. You participated in the FISA abuse. You signed off on two, maybe three, by his own admission, applying for the FISA warrant, and he should have known better. And to be so casual to think that here he is as the director, well, I've got thousands of people under me, it's not like I know everything. Well, wait a minute, you're signing off on it, you better know everything.
Well, something that high level as well, he would have had to have signed off on. I think he's full of crap, he's lying. He knew what was going on, and with the FISA warrant, and as for them claiming that they had the goods on Trump, I think this impeachment hearing has just called them out on that and shown that their witnesses did not have evidence of a quid pro quo or, crimes that he had done. I think it made them look really bad and showed that they never had the information they claimed they did.
Well, and the whole indictment, I mean, what they've been saying, it went from quid pro quo, it was coercion, it was bribery. I mean, well, wait a minute, what is it? After all that we've gone through, what is it? You've changed, and then you went from at least four. There's four. There's so many more we could do, but we're only going to focus on four. And then you come, with the final agreement on the Articles of Impeachment, and it's only two things that you have a problem of. But even in that, Rachel, there's no crime. Where's the said crime, that you're trying, to pin here on Donald Trump? I don't see it. You're an attorney. You know this better than I do, so I'm yielding to you.
Whenever you can't find a crime on someone, but you want to take them down, you just, use these process crimes, like obstruction of justice. Mm-hmm. That's a process crime. That's not, the actual thing where he did anything wrong. So, that is what the vague way they're going to try to take him down. And, as I said, they're not going to get anywhere with it. So it's just a waste of time.
Well, really, and even some of the argument that they have here, it's a separation of state, issue where, the Congress wants to hold Donald Trump, for obstruction because he's exercising his executive privilege. He's not going to open up all the books and have everybody investigated and spend more time. Oh, yeah, by the way, during the Mueller investigation, he released over 1 million pages of documentation. I mean, when is enough enough here?
Yeah, it is. It's gone way too far. And at this point, they need to wrap it up and they need to quit trying to play the silly games. And I can't wait till they bring it over to the Senate to see what the Republicans are going to do. It sounds like they're not going to bring witnesses. It sounds like they're just going to go through it really fast. But I think whatever it is, it'll just make the Democrats look even worse.
Well, the double-edged sword on this is that if you go fast, then you're doing the very thing that Jonathan Turley had warned the Democrats for doing. You're going fast and you're going skinny. And there's not a whole lot of substance here with what you're doing. And the obstruction that you are accusing the president of is the very thing that you're doing. When it goes to the Senate, if they're equally fast, then we're going to miss things in translation here. And if we're serious about making sure this doesn't happen again, Rachel, you know there has to be consequences. There has to be the light of day on all these shenanigans that the Democrats, that Lisa Page and Peter Stroke and, just go right on down the list, John Brennan, Clapper, the whole cabal of the deep state and what they did, against a presidential candidate, a Republican presidential candidate. And I got to tell you, I am really, that's one thing I'm really surprised about is why the Republican Party, even more so, has not been, so outraged that it was their candidate. Say what you want to say about Donald Trump. I mean, even though you're starting to look bad because everything he has said that he was going to do, he has done. The things that he called out about this country and about the political process, more people are agreeing with him than not. And even those staunch Republicans that could not stand Donald Trump to begin with are going, God, this guy's delivering the goods here, man. We got to go along with him now. We've got to really support him. But in mass, though, I think, again, I'm surprised Republicans in mass are not really just circling the wagons in some demonstrative sort of way to tell the Democrats and the rest of the country that this is unacceptable.
Yeah, I think they could do a lot better of a job, too. And the problem is you just have, these noisy defectors in the Republican Party who are still never Trumpers.
Right.
And the media gives them all this attention. Mm-hmm. I'm going to Drudge Report, as we're talking, and I see, Carly Fiorina is calling to impeach him. Mm-hmm. So, we're having our own just turn on him, and they're getting all the media attention instead of the ones who are circling the wagon. But I do want to say, You convinced me. You put forth a really good argument why the Senate should not skimp on this and why they really need to do a thorough job. And you're right, because we can't let this kind of a constitutional problem happen again. Because this is not grounds for impeachment. This needs to be shut down.
Yeah, you really need to lop its head off. And the manner in which they need to do that, though, Republicans have a way of being a little soft and very compassionate. But, sometimes justice has to be rendered. And I believe that if they sugarcoat this and they do what James Comey did to Hillary Clinton, look what happens. She lives another day. She's got plausible deniability. And with it, room for credibility. James Comey, the same way. This is what you get.
Yeah, they've got to nip this in the bud. They've got to shut it down. They can't, play softball with the Democrats. The Democrats aren't playing softball with them.
No.
They need to step up their game, and, the Senate, doesn't need to lay back and take this. Mitch McConnell sometimes comes around and it does the right thing. I'm hoping he will, because so far he's been very cooperative with the president on this. Mm-hmm. So my hopes are high.
Well, Rachel has a great article, and I will direct you to Town Hall on this. You may have heard about the Border Patrol agent Nick Ivey, who was killed by smugglers. Not friendly fire. You need to read the article. Where can they go for more information, Rachel?
It's on the homepage at townhall.com right now, and it's about this book called Who Shot Nick Ivey by Huey Freeman.
Mm-hmm.
And he's an investigative journalist who's gotten to the bottom of it, and you can go buy that book.
Wow. So very compelling. Check it out for yourself. Rachel Alexander, senior editor at stream.org. That's where you want to go to be in the flow of the know. Rachel, Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. We'll see you next year, huh?
Merry Christmas and God bless.
When you have a pain in the neck, a real pain in the neck, back, shoulder, or legs, you now have two convenient choices to get fast relief without taking another pill. Because now, Sunny Bay heating wraps and pillows are available at both Amazon and Walmart. Yes, see Sunny Bay's 4.5 to 5-star customer reviews on Amazon.com or Walmart.com. Our microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body wraps are designed better for perfect support where and when you need it. Even
Even while driving, Sunny Bay wraps will not burn and stay balanced to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to help treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part, Sunny Bay quality products start at under $20. Join thousands of happy customers and see why Sunny Bay products have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. It's easy. Click Amazon or Walmart and search today for Sunny Bay.
Has your body